Well, you know, COVID changed a lot of things. In fact, I still gauge time by COVID. I don't know about you, but, you know, oh, yeah, that happened before COVID. That happened after COVID. Of course, a lot of people's whole lives changed during COVID. And I think that's probably true with Dan Hilbert and his family. He had a big, very successful marketing career. He'd been doing it for like 30 years. And during COVID, he became a bagel baker. And has had a lot of success to it. Dan Hilbert's the founder, CEO of Dan's Bagels, joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
So is that a fair assessment of your life over the last 5 years?
Exactly what it was. Yes, that's exactly to the T what it was.
Well, let me back up. So you're a small business. You've been in business for 5 years. You shouldn't be. By all rights, you should have been out of business 2 or 3 years ago. So you're making it. That's the one thing. But how do you go for the marketing business and sort of C-level work to baking bagels for 8 hours a day?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like you said, COVID was, to say the least, a very unusual time. So outside of, you know, just the being together part, you kind of reassess kind of is, you know, what you want to do, candidly, right? So the idea of owning my own business actually went back a while. I always wanted to
be your own boss.
Yeah, but in a very much different space. I had an aspiration to open up my own marketing agency way back in the day. So I always had that entrepreneurial drive inside me. It just didn't ever come to bear that it would be bagels. But the spirit of that was always there.
But it's so much more than, you could be a good amateur baker or something, but it requires, you know, a business acumen of running your own business and P&L and cash flow and just in time, you know, supply chain delivery and hiring people that normally you wouldn't have in a career.
Yeah. We made a lot of mistakes. I got to tell you, you know, it's probably the best thing that happened to us. And I say us because of my wife and partner, Jennifer. Part of it was, I don't know, it's kind of strange to say, but we didn't have restaurant experience when we got into it. And I actually think it helped us, right? We had no sacred cows. We didn't have any preconceptions in terms of how it should be done. Now, mistakes came along the way, and you just kind of bear into it, right? You lean into it, and you just, you know, work your butt off. And it's true, right? I look back and sometimes it's said very offhandedly that, oh yeah, it takes a lot of work to own your own small business. I'm telling you, it takes a lot of work.
And also, I mean, you got to have a pretty strong marriage too when you go into this together.
Oh yeah. She Jennifer actually is the architect of the operational side. She really is. Mine was the recipe. Mine is the marketing. Mine is the management and the culture of the team, as reinforced by Jennifer.
Yeah.
So
now, I understand you did time on the East Coast.
Yes.
30 years or something in Connecticut and working in the city, in New York City. So I can understand your affinity for bagels. But, you know, you open up a shop in Trophy Club. These are not people who are accustomed to stopping off and getting a bagel before hopping the train into the city.
That's very true. I never looked at it that way. It's interesting. There was kind of not an ignorance, but almost like a bit of disbelief we had to have in terms of the demand for these bagels, right? And so we just ended up making them because, frankly, we missed them. And our kids were very much a driver of making these. They did a lot of nagging as food became the center of gravity during the pandemic.
Yeah.
But What we did find, because we didn't do a lot of market study, is there is a ton of transplants, a ton of transplants. And the more we looked at it, and you've got Schwab there, and I got, Schwab Green, which is TD Ameritrade, and all these other companies, there were a lot of transplants who adopted early on when we were out of our home and fell in love with it. And frankly, some of them actually helped us refine the recipe,
I
to
hadn't
believe it
really,
or not.
I'd never really thought about that. One thing about, you talk about lack of business acumen in the restaurant business. I mean, you got this thing down to one shift, which is one of the things, I remember Wingstop, that was their early secret, is one shift. So you're open at 7 o'clock in the morning and everybody's gone by 1 p.m. That helps with the overhead, doesn't it?
Very much so. I mean, because what you're left with really beyond that is just the baker labor, right? And you know what? It's as we're growing into these franchises, it is very attractive to these candidates that it is a 7 to 1 o'clock business. And we've heard over and over again, wow, there are no nights. I get to go see my kid's baseball game. Yes, I'll be a little tired, but at least I'm there. And surprisingly, it's worked out pretty well
So
from a lifestyle standpoint.
you've got the Trophy Club location you opened in the summer of 21. And so now there are three more to come. Now, these are all franchises?
Just two of them, which is Argyle and Fort Worth. And then the third one is in Grapevine, which is a second one owned exclusively by Jennifer and I.
So what, how big's big? What do you think?
In terms of the business,
Yeah.
in terms of like 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, are you going to be like Starbucks? Are you going to be what, like maybe three on every corner?
it's funny. We're definitely owner-operator model, first and foremost, which is if you want in, you have to work there full time. You have to be there at least 30 hours a week, which inherently, is much more of a slow and steady type of growth because we're much more picky about just that. It's not investors coming in and saying, I want to buy all of DFW. We say no to that. But right now, I would say for the next, 5 to 7 years, that's the approach. And then from there, I don't know. I don't know.
You think it's a family business? I mean, is it something you want to get, have your kids, if your kids were the ones who were bugging you to make bagels, then it's only right that you should put them to work if you haven't already.
That's true. That definitely have that over them. They were very instrumental in our opening. Our oldest is becoming more and more full time, but is it a family business? We're not forcing them to be in the business. We want them to do what they want to do. All the kids gravitate towards a shop when they're in town. They want to help out. But our oldest is probably the closest to really wanting to dive in. Ultimately, though, is however, whatever form it takes, is we do want to leave a legacy for our kids in that whatever happens, they're able to be and get some reward from the business, perennially, just for a period of time that makes them feel, comfortable as they have kids and
Yeah.
things like that.
So have you Southwestized or North Texasized this concept? I mean, is this something your friends on the East Coast would recognize? I mean, I look, you've got chocolate chip bagels. Did you have chocolate chip bagels on the East Coast?
Not many shops did actually. It's very insightful of you because you picked a sweet bagel, and in its purest sense, East Coast bagels, if you make a sweet bagel, it's almost shunned. But because we're in Texas,
There you go.
sweet's important.
Yeah, it is.
So.
So the other thing, one of the last few things I know about bagels. So water bagels or baked bagels?
water bagels, and they are boiled and baked. We do have a very special boiling process. It's some equipment out of New Jersey that we bring in. And why I say that is the boiling process within this equipment actually saves about a ton of water a week in sludge water. And so there's this other benefit in terms of waste that we loved about it.
Well, it's a different taste, isn't it?
I would say it might be, from a texture standpoint, a little softer. But from a taste standpoint, definitely different, just from it being a sourdough bagel. And you bring something up again, you know, really insightful. When folks call us a New York bagel, we're not really a New York bagel. Like, you know, we're honest with us, with everybody. New York bagels are not sourdough, typically, right? And New York bagels are kettle boiled. And so what we like to say is that we use all the East Coast and New York classic ingredients. Our processes are just a little bit more modern or different, or however you want to look at it.
Well, I mean, things cross the Mississippi River, they change. And in this case, I think probably for the better. Obviously, it's a hit. Like I say, you know, you should have been out of business 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago. And the fact is, you're still running. You're opening up new locations. And we wish you a lot of luck at Dan's Bagels. Dan Hilbert, you thought long and hard about that name, too, didn't you? Dan Hilbert is the founder, the CEO, co-founder and CEO of Dan's Bagels. Good to spend some time with you.
David, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation, go to KRLD.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.